points. And the rest of us, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to do a quick review of verses 20 through 27, then pick up in verse 10. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been able to be with you due to my mother-in-law's illness and then the Thanksgiving holiday. And it's good to be back with you tonight on Wednesday night. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, this Christmas season, Lord, where we celebrate your birth, Lord, I really believe it could be the last one we'll celebrate here on earth. That, Father, maybe never again will we have to celebrate Christmas here on earth. We'll celebrate it continually around the throne of God. Lord, open up the Word to us tonight and show us how close we are to that glorious moment in time. Lord, anoint me tonight to teach your Word in such a way, Lord, that first of all, always to bring you honor and glory. And Father, secondly, to be a blessing and an encouragement to your people. And Lord, we know this can't be done without the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I humbly ask you to pour out upon me and upon the minds of my hearers tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we left off, we just covered the last time we were in class, one of the greatest prophecies found in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it is the bedrock of all biblical prophecy. And I'm going to quickly read it again and go through it just very briefly, just to bring our minds back to where we were so we can get in a good train of thought again. So let's go to Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 20. Hopefully you'll recall that Daniel is concluding a time of prayer and fasting and repentance before God for the sins of the nation of Israel. And one man once said, and it's so very, very true, he said, the depth of our revival that we experience will always be directly proportional to the depth of our repentance before God. Because repentance before God is inextricably bound up in humility. Because repentance is, the very act itself is agreeing with God. Is that, God, you are exonerated, we are the sinners. God, you are the justifier, we have no hope of justifying ourselves. God, you are the one who makes us righteous and then declares us righteous. And we, through no effort of our own, can do that. And repentance also involves a renewal of faith in the correct object of faith, which is Christ and Him crucified, has always been throughout the Word of God. And Daniel's time of prayer and fasting had all of those elements in it. There was deep repentance, and there was wondrous praise to God, and there was also astounding humility on the part of Daniel as he offered up that prayer. And God always responds. I mean, I'm amazed when I look at it in the Word of God. He always responds to repentance and humility. The Bible says God resisteth the humble, or the humble, the proud. I'll get it out right. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And pride and sin are inextricably bound together, just as repentance and humility are bound together. And so I understand that saying when it says the depths of our revival. In other words, how close we feel to God. How we experience God's presence in a wonderful way will always be directly proportional to the depth of our repentance. Our acknowledgement to God that we can do nothing. We're dependent upon Him for everything. And that was exactly the kind of prayer that Daniel cried out to God. He not only repented, hopefully you'll recall, for his own sins, but he repented for the sins of the entire nation of Israel since its inception, because they had turned their back on the worship system that God had so graciously given them. And that system was so superior to every other system of worship in the world because it had God as its originator. Now, that's one thing we Christians right now, and I feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to bring this out, that we can take joy in right now. The system of worship that we have been given by God, revealed in His Word, is so superior, even if you look at it from an intellectual standpoint, it is so superior to every other religion on this planet. Because every other method of man trying to reach God involves man doing some external work to get God's favor. Whereas what the Bible reveals and what's taught in the Bible is that man comes to God admitting his own inability, and then God begins to work within man, and that change is projected on the outside then. So that kind of prayer is always going to get God's attention, is the point I want to make. I've experienced this in my own life. When you really want to get a hold of God, repent. Look at your life, fall on your face, and confess to Him your failures, your shortcomings, your sins, and thank Him for His grace and mercy. And there's just something about that. In the Word, and I've experienced in my personal life, it gets to the very heart of God. I think it's predicated upon our humility. God resists the proud. Now, that's a pretty awesome statement. God resists the proud. That word in Greek literally means God fights against the proud. And who do you think is going to win that battle, huh? God resists the proud, but what? But gives grace to the humble. Praise God. Grace means being treated like we don't deserve to be treated. So in conclusion, I wanted to bring all that out before we went back into this, because God answers Daniel, and God gives Daniel a revelation that is the foundation of all biblical prophecy. Okay, let's read through it now. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayers, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the visions at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, which was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. My. There's so much we can learn from that right there. And I dare take a few moments to expound upon it tonight once again. The greatest gift God ever gives us is Himself. Out of all the wonderful things He has done and will do for us, the greatest gift He gives us is Himself. In other words, He gives us a revelation of who He is. And I was sharing with, or Paul was sharing with me before church about a young girl he prayed with, led her to the Lord not long ago. Is it okay if I say who it is, Paul? Brittany is her name. She's the daughter of, and their names just jumped out of my head, Randy and Nicole Adams. And I had some experience with Brittany over at Christ Chapel. She was very hardened by sin. But Paul led her to the Lord, and she has so changed. She's, the message of the cross has just taken hold in her life. And her grandmother was talking to Paul, and he said, you'd think this girl would have been saved 20 years now. You see, when God reveals Himself and you invite God in and you're truly born again, it's a radical experience. So much so that Brittany led her grandmother, who was lost, to the Lord. Praise God for that. Amen? But that's the power of a revelation. And that's the greatest thing God will ever give us, is a revelation of who He is. And that's what Gabriel is coming to tell Daniel now. Daniel, you're about to get a revelation from God. And it was, it's so the magnitude of what Daniel has shown here should cause us all to shout, because God is no respecter of persons, and He'll do the same thing for you and I. If we'll go the same route Daniel went, in prayer, in humility, and in confession and repentance. So let's read on now. Verse 23, at the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to do the following works now, the Bible tells us. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. And to finish the transgression refers to God bringing Israel back to a place of repentance to where they'll fully turn to Him. We've discussed that. To make an end of sins. That means Christ dying, that's Christ's death on the cross. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Not only did Christ's death on the cross wipe out sin, it took away, it takes away iniquity when a person repents. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, that speaks of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That speaks of the Holy of Holies that's going to be set up here on earth where Jesus Christ himself will rule and reign from. God himself is going to anoint Christ to rule and reign throughout the ages of time. What a beautiful thing that's going to be. Do you have a question, Paula? Oh, you're just straightening out your hair. Okay. Don't move wrong. You'll get called on. Okay. So, and we covered all that in detail. I don't want to read verse 25 now. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And remember, that's a week of years. 49 years. And 62 weeks, which comes up to 434 years. So, which really gives us a total of 483 years out of the 490 that have been used up. Is everybody following me still on that? Remember, he said 70 weeks are determined. That's a week of years. 70 times 7, 490. In the events that have happened, 483 of those years have been used up. He was telling Daniel, 490 years of events are determined upon your people. And what determines the stopping and starting of those years? When Israel is involved in temple worship. Okay? Know that if you don't remember anything else. That's very important. So we've used up 483 out of the 490 years, leaving 7 years. Okay? Let's go on to verse 26 now. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Daniel names the exact year that the Lord Jesus Christ would give his life on the cross. Literally almost down to the day. Hopefully you'll recall when we went into that in detail. And the people of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. This is speaking, of course, of the coming Antichrist, who's going to overtake Israel. Let's go on to verse 27 now. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, according to the prophecy that Daniel was given at the In verse 24, 70 weeks, 490 years. We've used up 483 out of those 490 years. Beginning of verse 27, we're told, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I feel it important to bring out once again. For years, I believed the rapture of the church marked the beginning of the tribulation period, the last 7 years of planet Earth as we know it. That is incorrect. That is patently incorrect. I'm glad the Lord taught me better. It's nothing that would, you know, send anybody to hell or anything for believing that, but I want to get it right. It's important. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. When the Antichrist comes to power, he will sign a peace covenant with Israel that will allow Israel to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount, where now the Dome of the Rock sets, where Muslims claim Muhammad ascended into heaven. And the Word of God is telling us this will be the sign of the last. This is what will kick off the 7-year tribulation period, the signing of this covenant. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now that's very important because what the Antichrist will do and what will so endear him to the Jewish people is that he's going to allow their temple to be rebuilt, and Israel will once again engage in temple worship, which will ignite the last seven-year tribulation period. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years into this covenant, the Antichrist will break the covenant, and he will then turn on Israel and show his true colors and invade Jerusalem. And he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And actually what he's going to do, well, let's read on. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. This is speaking of spiritual desolation. Because in fact, what he's going to do is set up an image of himself in the reconstructed Holy of Holies. That's a pretty brazen act, isn't it? But he will tear down the Ark of the Covenant that will be there and set him, well, he may not tear it down, but he will place his image at least above the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, saying he is above Almighty God. Even until the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured out upon the desolate. In other words, during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, remember, hopefully you'll remember, we brought out where God's wrath will be poured out during this time. Not God's judgment, God's wrath. There is a difference. Wrath is God's unmitigated fury from which there will be no relenting for. There will be no turning it back. God has determined that this, he will execute his judgment and punishment upon the Antichrist and upon his armies and upon the kingdoms of this world that have turned against him the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And remember, we've talked how Israel itself will be almost annihilated. The race of Jewish people will be nearly annihilated by the Antichrist. Some Bible scholars I've read after thinking there may be as little as 2 or 3 million of them left alive that will be calling upon their Messiah now from the caves of Petra. It's where they'll be hiding out. And they will then call for their Messiah to come and acknowledge Israel as a nation. All of them that are left will pray pretty much the same kind of prayer that Daniel prayed in chapter 9, verses 1 through 20, where they're going to repent of rejecting their Messiah. They're going to repent of receiving the Antichrist as their Messiah. And they're going to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And predicated again, you see the concept, upon their repentance, upon their acknowledgement of their failure, their sin before God, God answers in a very, very big way by sending Jesus Christ back to earth to annihilate the armies of the Antichrist, of which time the saints of God will come riding behind him over through the skies of Jerusalem, and he will then establish his kingdom, and he will establish a 1,000-year reign upon planet earth. Praise God. And that's not too far away from happening. Okay, now let's go on to chapter 10. Let's look at the effects of this vision on Daniel now, in this revelation. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the 1st month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. And look at what Daniel sees now, beginning in verse 5. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of the multitude. This is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ to Daniel. The same Christ that John beheld in his glory in Revelation chapter 1. The similarities are nearly identical in the description. It shows you how the Holy Spirit gave these two men, Daniel and John, the two greatest revelators probably of futuristic prophecy in the Word of God, gave them the same vision of Jesus Christ in his glory. And again, we see it. I hope you get your mind around this concept, is that the greatest thing God ever gives us is himself. You having the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives is our greatest asset. It's not our bank accounts, our cars, our homes, our jobs. Because if you have Jesus dwelling on the inside of you, you can go through anything. You can recover from anything. All things are possible to him that believeth. Praise God. And he said he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, that he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What an assurance we have as believers to know our God not only dwells with us, but dwells in us. No wonder Jesus said, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You've got an asset of assets tonight if you have Jesus Christ in your life. And his presence in an individual's life guarantees victory for that individual. It guarantees that that person will be an overcomer. It guarantees that that person will be held up when others are falling down, because they are being propelled and held up by a power that's not of this world, but by a power that comes from the throne of Almighty God. You can shout tonight, saints of God, knowing that your God is in control and your God owns everything and he knows the minutest detail going on in your and my life right now, and he is going to see us through. He's going to care for us, but he has given us the greatest gift he'll ever give us, himself. And that guarantees victory everywhere else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel that tonight, church. I feel that tonight. In the world that's going mad, we have the peace that passes all understanding. Aren't you glad tonight to know that it don't matter what the U.S. economy's doing, we operate in God's economy. Hallelujah. And he'll send ravens to feed us if need be. In my case, it'd take a lot of ravens, but he'll do it. It may mean a whole flock of ravens for me. I couldn't be like Elijah by the brook Cherith. It'd take more than just a raven or two to... But he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll give us what we need. And he gives Daniel, first the lesson here, he gives Daniel himself. He gives Daniel a lot of other things. He gives Daniel wealth. He gives Daniel power. He gives Daniel tremendous revelations. But the greatest thing he gives Daniel is a revelation of himself. Praise God. And you've got that tonight. With your faith in Christ and what he did at the cross, that came to us by revelation. You know what? I'd served God and I was saved. There's no doubt in my mind I was saved. And was a preacher, even a pastor. And did not understand revelation and faith like I should until I understood the cross. And when I understood the cross, everything else immediately came into sharp focus. Praise God. And that came by revelation, which is an act of what? God's grace. God resists the proud. To those who want to insist on going their own way and having their own way, God will allow that. But he's also not going to give them any grace. That's a terrible thing in and of itself. Not to have the grace of God flowing into your life. But it says he'll resist the proud. Those who insist on forming their own way of relating to him, or those who insist on going their own way, he'll allow it, but they won't receive any grace. But to the humble, he gives grace. Praise God. And grace will always involve a tremendous revelation of Jesus Christ. Always, without fail. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight that you have his grace flowing into your life? Praise God. That just makes me want to jump over this pulpit, which would be a tremendous act of God if that were to occur. I'm not going to attempt it, though. Okay, let's go on. Verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me saw not the vision. Now you ask, why is that? Because I don't believe any of the men around Daniel were in a state of grace. You know, God's given out revelation all the time. It's like my dear friend, Brother Lauren Larson, says. He said, before we know God, it's like we're like a radio antenna who has no receiver built in it. But once you come to know Jesus Christ, the receiver's put in. Now you can receive messages. Amen? And these people around Daniel, they didn't have no receivers in. They weren't in a state of grace. More than likely, they were of the proud crowd that was resisting God. But Daniel alone saw the vision. And look what happens to him. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. How many times have I seen it? When God starts to move, and when he's calling people, and the Holy Spirit is flowing like a river, And it's going to be because revelation is being declared. Man has one of two choices. You either run to the cross or you went out the door. That's the only two options you left with. You can't, you know, you cannot stand, I don't care who you are, to repeatedly place yourself under the preaching of the cross and not receive it. You're either going to have to receive it, or you're just in your spiritually speaking, or maybe even physical, sometimes it happens, clasp your hands over your ears and run away from it. That's what happened to these men, because revelation, the power of God was flowing. And if the power of God is flowing, and you've got the receiver, you've got Christ in your heart and life, you're going to want to receive. It's a natural event. You know, radio is turned on, those transistors are immediately searching for a signal to pick something up. So it is with you and I. And if there's nothing there, and you see everybody else picking something up or other people picking something up, and you ain't getting it, it's going to scare you, or you're going to want what they got. So let's go on. Verse 8, look at this. We're going to close on this tonight. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. In other words, a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Daniel had just received. Remember the day you understood the message of the cross? I'll never forget as long as I live. I do, just like it was yesterday. It created in me such a sense of humility when I understood it. I realized, oh my God, what a sinner I am. But what a great grace and salvation you give. My Lord, my Lord. What a revelation to get. It's overwhelming. I remember it overwhelmed me that day. If I hadn't been in a classroom setting where the Bible was being taught, people thought I was crazy. Because I just sat there for about a half hour. I know I'm ashamed to admit, there was maybe not a half hour, it's a bit of an exaggeration, maybe about 10 minutes. I sat there and I know I missed most of what Lauren said. Because I was just like, oh God, I see it. I understand faith now. I understand revelation now. I understand why I need what you did for me on the cross, not only as a one-time event, but every day of my life. And I understand how that not only makes me righteous, but keeps me righteous and holy before you. And I don't have to perform to get your favor. I've just got to keep my faith right. I sat there bawling like a baby. I was running out every break, every hour, Lauren would give a 10-minute break. I'd run down to the hallway to a little private place. I'd be on the phone with Vonnie. Honey, do you know what I learned this hour? His blood, we don't have to work to earn God's favor. We don't have to do anything. He loves us on the basis of our faith alone. My Lord, I was excited. I could hardly stand it because my whole life, I've been taught you have to work, you have to do this, you have to fast, you have to pray, you have to read your Bible, you have to attend church so many times a week. And all those things are good, but the performing of them was made into a law which made them unprofitable for me spiritually. Because I was doing those things to get God's favor. At times as there was enjoyment in them, but at other times I was doing it. I've got to read my Bible. I ain't read it in 3 days. Okay. For God, so, you know, let me read something that's... Now, come on. Don't look at me like a bunch of doe-eyed calves. You were there at one time, too. For God so loved the world. Okay, I've read my Bible now. Oh, boy, I hope he's happy with me. No joy at all. Hallelujah. But now, I can't wait to open it. And if I read it 5 minutes or if I read it for 5 hours, I know God don't love me any less or any more. Glory to God. That's revelation. That's a disclosure of God's grace to us. It's the greatest asset we have. I didn't mean to get started preaching there. It's just glorious to me. It's just glorious to me. Praise God. But the effect it had on Daniel was it melted him not only spiritually, but physically. And I recall some of you when you first got the message of the cross. I believe everybody's in here tonight. Yeah. There's nobody who... I remember seeing the look on your faces as I was preaching it. I saw the lights coming on. It made me want to shout with you. At times, I just wanted to stop. Maybe I should have, and say, I know exactly how you feel right now. Just get up and shout if you need to. Nobody's going to say nothing to you. Praise God. Know that our greatest asset is the revelation we have of Jesus Christ, which allows His grace to flow into us. Praise God. Any questions or comments tonight? And I know it was a quick review, and then we barely got into chapter 10 there, but we'll hopefully pick up the flow again next week. Any questions or anything? Hope I didn't lose you in reiterating the Daniel 9:25 through 27 again. It's some difficult scripture, but we've covered it three or four times, and hopefully it's stuck. It's like again, Lauren says, he said, repetition is your best teacher. And I've heard from educational psychologists, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in psychotherapy, but educational psychologists, they say the human brain has to hear something at least three times before it begins to get it. So with that being a difficult prophecy, I've tried to reiterate it several times, at least in generality, so you'll be cognizant and hopefully be conversant in it if somebody asks you or you hear somebody telling you something like, oh, rapture's going to happen, tribulation's going to start. Say, well, yeah, the rapture's going to happen. That's when I'm going to start the tribulation. So praise God. Let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. I just feel as we're dismissed tonight to thank Him and praise Him for the revelation that we have. Because it's everything, church. It's everything. Heavenly Father, tonight we come to You in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're melted tonight. Just like Daniel was, oh God, we're melted by Your grace. We're melted by the revelation that we have of what You did for us on the cross. And Lord, we praise You for it. Lord, it's Christmas. We celebrate Your birth. We're thankful for that, that You willingly came and took on the form of man. But Lord, had You just come and took on the form of man, it really would have meant nothing. It was Your sacrifice on the cross that purchased our redemption, that purchased our holiness, that purchased our cleansing from sin, that allows, when we place our faith in it, for the grace of God to flow. We humble ourselves before You tonight. Just praise Him, church. Just praise Him. I feel the Holy Spirit flowing so beautifully. Lord, we thank You. We may not have the finest of material goods for Christmas, but Lord, that's not a big deal. We have You, Jesus. We have You, Lord Jesus, and that's the greatest thing we can have. And Lord, we have the fellowship of one another, being of like mind, being in one mind and one accord. Oh, Lord, what a blessing that is. Father, we thank You tonight, and we're humbled, and we give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep us until we meet again on Sunday morning and throughout this special time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. Hallelujah. If you can, you're dismissed. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus tonight. Praise God.